All right. I have only three verses to read. I would like for you to read them with me. The first one is Hebrews 9:14. 9:14.
Now much more will the blood of Christ, who brought the eternal Spirit, offer himself without blemish to God, cleansing your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God. May he cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Now then, if you will turn with me to Romans 1:4.
Who was declared, this is concerning Jesus Christ, born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now this is a very important verse of scripture. In his flesh, Jesus Christ was born as the seed of David. But he was declared with power to be the Son of God. He was declared the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, by or according to the Spirit of holiness. That is Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers, it was by the resurrection from the dead that a man was declared to be the Son of God. Now, let's turn to Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Or who indwells you. I would like to read it again. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. These three verses are needed tonight. All right, brothers and sisters. About 2 weeks ago or three, I said to you, we have been talking about the Lord living in us, but now we leave the heavenly matters and get down to the practical. I want to take tonight to review with you just, no, I'm not going to review, but to touch with you again the heavenly and the practical, because next week we're going to deal only with the practical. And then the week after that, we're going to deal with the practical aspects of the church meeting. And then after that, we're going to deal also with the practical matters of living by the Lord's life and by living by this wonderful one, this wonderful person who lives inside all of us. So tonight I need to bring something to you that you may not have caught. And I think in the light of last week, we need to get this. I'm going to do one of those things that the Lord does, and one of those things the Bible does. One of those things that really just is, it is a frustration to the Western mind. We're Westerners, and we have to outline everything, and we have to underline, understand everything, and everything has to be in one systematic, consistent line. Everything has to be theologically sound. No inconsistency, no reversal. Brothers, I tell you, but the Lord is just not like that. He is just not like that. I say, hallelujah, the Lord is just not, you can't put him in a bottle, brother. And for that reason, I would like to say, you can't put me in a bottle either, because I am going to be faithful to all of the Lord's counsel, even when it seems inconsistent with something I've already said. Is that okay? But I think, brothers, that in all of this, the Lord bears witness, and I do not know how to explain it. If you ask me to explain it, I will say, ask God. And then one day you'll meet a brother who can explain it all. He'll just be able to explain everything to you so clearly. The only thing I wish to ask you is he giving you life, or is he giving you a system? Brothers, if I give you something consistent, I'm afraid it's going to be a system. Because the Lord is not system time.
Brother, he just gave you life.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Jonathan and I were talking. The most unsystematic thing in the whole scripture is the psalm. You just try to outline a psalm, brother.
You might as well try to catch the rain as it falls from heaven. You just can't do it. Or to hold a whirlwind in your hand. You just can't. It's just life gushing up. Praise the Lord. That's the way the Lord is.
And the Lord took care of the body that had become flesh. Do you remember that? And the Lord is taking care of the soul which became the self by wanting it. Even Adam didn't get to have, because Adam only had a soul. It was a pure and a neutral soul, but it did not have the Lord's life. Praise the Lord, brother. We got a soul that may be enlarged, but hallelujah, it has been saved.
Amen.
Redeemed.
And it is now being transformed into the very nature of God.
Hallelujah.
And then the third form to fall the Hermas was our spirit, because our spirit got dead. It was killed. It was dead.
And now the Lord's going to make the spirit alive. Now I have to reverse the prop then.
Because, brothers, we can look at it flesh and then the self and then a dead spirit, or we can look at the body and the soul and the spirit.
Or, praise the Lord, we can look at a spirit, the human spirit deep within it, that has been made alive. It's been made alive by the Lord, and that spirit is now gradually transforming the soul into life. Praise the Lord, an expression of God. The soul is getting transformed. I would like to say the soul is being transformed into spirit. But I can't say that because the spirit is unseen and intangible. The soul is seen and tangible. So there's a little of creation mixed in with a soul that is transformed. Now praise the Lord, out from the soul, the Lord has also, by his salvation in Christ, he has saved, redeemed the flesh. The flesh has been saved too, brother.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It has been saved, and the Lord has taken care of the flesh that is in the body. Now, can you follow me? He has done it by doing what with the flesh? By putting it on the cross. Praise the Lord.
Wow. Now, brothers, that was this one. The flesh has been with us before we were saved. And now it has got to be put to death, right?
And it has been put to death, right?
Right.
And then the Lord gives us enough life when we get saved. Enough of his life to put the death, the beat of that flesh. Praise the Lord. Then the Lord gives us enough life for us to begin to deny the self. Why?
Right.
And for the Lord to begin to transform the soul.
Right.
Now, and
back to the spirit.
You get back to the spirit. He has given us a
spirit. A live spirit. What did he do? The Holy Spirit.
Now,
praise the Lord. He has given us the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us the Holy Spirit.
But there is a Lord in you, and I want you to know he's sufficient. If you really knew who was in you, you'd say, yep, that word is sufficient.
Sufficient.
Sufficient. That is in you. He's sufficient. Not only we're going to make it. I love to hear the brothers say, we're going to make it.
Amen.
Every once in a while, I also like to hear a brother say, we've already done. Praise the Lord. Because the one in us has made it. Praise the Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. The Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all inside of it. And that good Lord.
And that wonderful Jesus Christ, that wonderful Holy Spirit, is working his way out of it. All I can tell you, I cannot just buy it. I cannot explain it. I ever tell you that I'm standing with Bro Paul. I really am.
Brother Paul, I told you this before, but I want you to read the New Testament. I want you to read the Epistle. Every one of them start off the glorious, wonderful, marvelous, heavenly thing.
And then after the Lord has told us everything, it's all worked out, if there's nothing to do, then he says,
yeah. Stop your immorality. Stop your lying. Stop your cheating. Stop you there. Stop you there. Stop the deed that more.
And he just goes on and on and on and on and on and on.
He just becomes the way like read the temple.
And then, brothers, he goes even there to being very practical.
And he says, wife
of your husband. How are you? He says, wine. My dear. Husbands love your wine. Praise the Lord.
Pray. We got three things going over here. We got glorious things. Then we got negative things. Then we have practical things. Just
I don't know if you remember when we talked about Romans 6 and 7. That was glorious.
I don't know if you know it was glorious. That was glorious.
I think I said at a meeting I would get everything I owned for 10 years ago for someone to have told me I cannot live the Christian life.
Yep. All I can do is fail.
I can't love the Lord. I can't give up sin. I can't quit my meanness. I can't love my wife. I can't submit to my brother. I cannot do anything but fail. You remember that?
I want you to know, brother, that we have to furnish the Holy Spirit with revelation to convict with. A man living in Africa who has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ can't get saved.
He can't. He doesn't even know he is sinned until somebody
declared it. Then the Holy Spirit have a need for conviction. Then the Holy Spirit can bring in the message of Christ and his soul respond and receive the Lord in perfect grace.
Burris, I'll tell you, there are just some things we need to be told that serve as a way for the Holy Spirit. Now, you know that? The other night, I was shocked. And I was shocked that you were shocked. And you were shocked at something I said.
Slow up. I need
some information
for the Lord to work in me. I need my spirit stirred up.
I really do.
But I also need for Brother Gene Edwards to come back here tonight and say, brothers, we're going to get there by grace. We're going to get there by mercy. And that's the only way we're going to get there.
But I want you to know something, Lord Jesus Christ.
Here I am.
And brothers, there is a growth of the Lord's Spirit in our lives. And the Lord grows so high. And when we first get saved, he takes things. You go a little further, he takes some more. Grow a little further, and he takes some more. And if we don't have the information, brothers, at times the Lord grows to a certain point. He can't grow any further because we don't have the information. He works in us, but we don't have the information to understand what he's saying.
He gets to a point of frustration.
Wow.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
There really needs to be the word spoken.
Wow.
But, oh, brothers, there's been so much damage done in the house of God throughout all the ages. When men have said, you are a Christian, you got to give up this.
Well, I tell you something, you have to give up anything. And secondly, brother, you can't give up anything.
But I do want you to know, brother, you can cooperate with the Lord.
You cooperate with the Lord, desire thou will.
You can cooperate with the growth of the Lord. It is within us to stymie and frustrate the Lord Jesus Christ as he grows in us. And the brothers, I would just implore you to never expect anything out of another brother except Savior.
Amen.
Expect all the other brothers in the church here to just utterly fail.
Expect them to do nothing in the world but just completely fall on their face when it comes to being a Christian. But as for yourself, my brother,
I would implore you to deal with the Lord as though there were no such thing as grace and mercy.
And fall on your face and fail. Because in your failing, you'll give the Lord a little more ground. And then, brother, one of these days, you just hardly notice it. It just falls off.
Now then, the Lord assumed it didn't happen. Amen. That he descended, right?
Right.
And he did a lot of things in his ascending, and he did a lot of things in his descending. Today, the same is true of you. The Lord came into you. It's really a marvelous God. And that God was so great that he could come into all of us indeed and create man. But now, brothers, I want you to know that when he came into you,
He brought some things in with him that have now been incorporated into his deity. Connie, like it or not,
the Lord came into you fully equipped
to bring you to an end and to do a glorious new thing. And a glorious sister. The Lord didn't come in alone. He came in. He came within pots and pans and cabinets, and he came in with furniture, and he came in with light bulbs, and he came in furnished. The Lord moves in, and he's got drawers. He can pull cabinet drawers out, and he can pick out. He's got so many things. He's equipped. He's got supply. Those are not just things that the Lord himself is supplied with for himself while he's in. He's supplied to meet you, too.
But, Howard, you're new around here. You got lots of the problems, but you know about one of your false friends there.
We're married to a woman.
You know, your second point you got, brother,
is you have three children. They're all born.
Two boys and one girl.
Oh, those are big problems. Although, third thing is, brother, you got a house. The fourth thing you got is a job. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ walked in as full to bond.
Walk in as full to bond.
Brother, here's what I would like for every brother and every sister in this room to know, that when the Lord Jesus Christ walked in, I know I've said this to you before, but I would like for us to get it in context tonight, in the context of all that was said last week. When the Lord came in and he planted a cross right inside your very being. Within the very nature of the triune God who lives in you and all his wealth and mission, implanted in the very center of God in the cross. It's part of his nature. It's part of his nature. Do you see that? Buried deep inside you is that active living cross. The Lord is practical. He is so practical. He came in with a practical cross. So he also came in with practical light. Are you following that? The light that he's got a practical cross. Now this wonderful Lord is deep inside you, and he's got a purpose. And that is, he is going to make practical everything he has ever done in the universe.
Praise the Lord.
You say, brother, he has
put the dead flesh, I say to you, the cross and his life is going to make it practical.
Well, I'm just going to say that Jesus Christ came into you with all he needs. His work. He came in with all the supply that you need for any situation you'll ever come into. Now, my brothers, here's what I would like for you to understand. This wonderful Lord is inside of you. Hallelujah. The last week, the week before this last week, we learned some of the things about that life that moved into you. That life came in with a certain sense. What is that sense? That life has the sense of life and peace. And when you've got life and when you've got peace, that simply means that you are now living by that life deep within you. And that life is energizing you, and you plugged into that life, and you're no longer living by human life.
You're living by the life of the Lord. That is, they fit the life and peace. And praise the Lord, there is the anointing within you that moves and moves and teaches you everything. And you go along with that anointing, and the more you go along with it, the more you're anointed. And the more you don't go along with it, the more, since you have darkness and death and heaviness and weightiness and confusion, praise the Lord, then that light comes back and stirs a little bit more, and you're already yelling and screaming.
But close will be best, and the darkness and the heaviness and confusion. Finally, you decide to go for that little ray of light.
Praise the Lord. The Lord's anointing increases as you go along with it. That anointing follows no rhyme, no reason, no laws, no rules, and no human condemn. It's not justifiable or on any grounds whatsoever. It's divine. And it doesn't have to go vain.
But you have to go along with that deep inner sense within you. At all times, go along with that sense.
Whereas I want you to know, the more you are anointed, the more the Lord works his life into you. The more the oil is poured on you, the more the oil gets into you.
And then one day, brother, you are really anointed with the Lord's anointing.
Oh, what a wonderful brother you're going to be. What a wonderful sister you're going to be. It's going to be nice just to sit down in front of
you. Burris, I struggle with things at the age of 8 that I thought were so mammoth, so staggering, so absolutely uncomparable, that there was no way for me. I saw no hope. Today, I look back on those things, they're nothing.
What, that money? That absolutes. You see what I'm fighting with now.
Well, I'm fighting with things that my 18-year-old mind could have never visualized. I would have been so terrified. Brothers, if I'd known at 18 what I know today, I believe I would have just become a hermit. Donned off in a belt, closed the door, and shot the first guy who tried to get on my property. You know, it's fully clear of what I'm applying. My brother, God, where I am today, by the transforming work of the Lord Jesus.
I stand where I am today, not in one great leap, but in a long life of cooperating with the Lord's book. And that's how you and I both go with the Lord.
Do you see? But every once in a while, brothers, it is up to me to stretch you.
And last week I stretched you, brother.
You know why I stretch you? Because every once in a while the Lord stretches you, brother. Do you not realize at the times the Lord takes one great leap in you?
Yeah.
Later you find out it wasn't such a big leap, but it looked like a big leap.
Oh, he just decides he's just going to tear down all the things that you just never thought he'd tear down.
You just never thought he'd take away. Then, praise the Lord, brother. One day he catches up with you.
I'm sorry, you catch up with him. You rest a while. And then he... it's satisfied anymore. And he goes on. Now, I would like to put all of this into a real clear word to you.
And I think maybe tonight you can see it. Maybe you can't, but I hope you can.
And the story goes something like this.
Brothers, there is no law. The law has been done away with. It is utterly gone. There are no rules. All the rules were nailed to the cross.
There is no moral standard whatsoever. That has been utterly done away with. There's not a brother or sister in this room that is under a single moral standard in this world. The other night, on Monday night, I said something I doubt if any other man living on this earth ever said.
Who is a child of God, who has got as much sense as I've got, as a Christian.
I said, don't stand, don't pay a whole lot of attention to the moral standards and the American customs, the moral standards in this country. Just ignore them. Just ignore them. Now, I realize that we've got a testimony to give to this world, and okay, we'll keep mindful of that. But, brothers,
we are not bound by a moral standard. You're bound by the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think that sometimes the brothers and sisters have a lot of good common sense. I think sometimes you don't have a whole lot of good thoughts. But brothers, I trust something deep within. I really.
And so just don't pay a whole lot of attention to moral standard or custom or mores. All you got to pay attention to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Moral standards have been nailed to the cross.
Customs have been nailed to the cross. You know, we're not Greeks and we're not Jews. I'll tell you something else we're not. We're not American.
Grace it, Lord, not this world is, because this world has been put to the call. And all the moral standards have been put to the call. And Texas has been put to the call. Say you. Right. The standards are out of this time been put to the call.
Not much went there with the calls and all. This is what they're called, not moral standards.
I thank God that the Lord decided to raise up this house in Isla Vista. It's the one place that we could be normal.
Look at normal. He's gone. Now that, boy, Memphis is going to have to fill with a normal church in the midst of a very abnormal religious system.
and sown throughout this country, and pray the Lord, maybe throughout the world. You know, nobody knows. But all I can tell you this is, it went to the cross.
Therefore, you are not bound. You are not bound by
what you have in your record rack or in your refrigerator, all of it. It is not important. So I am backing off of everything I said last night, but I am telling you this, brothers. All of those things were put to the cross. Satan was nailed in the cross.
Hallelujah!
Your world,
hallelujah.
Religion was put on the cross.
Hallelujah.
Law and every rule that man has ever written up, see, dog, went to the cross. Every standard of morality went to the cross.
Brother evil went to the cross. Good went to the cross.
Everything that was negative in this universe went to the cross. That means the things that were in your refrigerator went to the cross. The things in your record rack went to the cross. The things in your wardrobe and in your closet, they went to the cross and they're dead. They have been put away.
Now there is only one thing that was not put to the cross.
There is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not. Al Hackney, are you here? Al says the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Old Testament. That's the Holy Spirit is not mentioned. I tell you what is mentioned in the Old Testament is the Spirit of Holiness.
The Lord God's Spirit is in the Old Testament. Al says that the brothers in the New Testament quoted the Old Testament and called it the Holy Spirit, and that is correct. The Holy Spirit is not mentioned in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit is never mentioned until there is a mingling of God and man. But the brothers, I think it was Brother James quoting something, said the Holy Spirit spoke of old, say. That's true. But Brother James had more light than the Old Testament believers had, that it was the Holy Spirit that was speaking in the Old Testament. But I'm still going to say something. The Holy Spirit, as we know today, is greatly enlarged over the Holy Spirit of the Old Testament. Or the Spirit of God. He is far, far richer. Because God got richer. Praise the Lord. The Lord got enlarged. So the Holy Spirit had to get richer. Anyhow, Jesus Christ went to the cross. There's only one thing that did not go to the cross, brothers.
I want you to know, when I say everything, I mean everything, because God was not pleased with any. Because all of this creation should fall. Do you follow that? The Lord put everything on the cross.
Because the creation had fallen and God wasn't pleased with any of it. There was one thing. The angel did it.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
No.
But it is according to the verse of scripture that I read, there's only one thing that got on the other side of that clock. The eternal spirit. Yeah, trans spirit. Oh, but Gene, isn't that the Holy Spirit? Brothers, I know I'm a heretic. Brothers, the eternal spirit was nothing but the essence of God. I cannot tell you that it was the operation of the Father, nor the Son, nor anything else. It was the pure thing that was presented. The only thing left was God.
The eternal spirit did not die, did not experience the cross. Everything else was put away. Now, it was by that eternal spirit that Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was raised from.
Glory to God.
And it was when that eternal spirit was able to raise a man dead, a physical man,
a man
who had died, by that eternal spirit raising that man up from the grave, that man was declared to be the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
What a power
of that eternal spirit.
Now, brothers, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, he came out of that grave. And I want you to know all these other things were left in the grave.
You won't have to say, oh, I notice people, the longer they are, the more they feel the Lord. The less they've got to say about just things and less opinions, thank God. I used to be politically one of the most verbal people all the way. I was younger. I had so one ambition.
I told you why it was.
Do I want to
be? My whole period of life, this was on the period. I could even tell you what my first day would be, and the first time that I could run for state legislature in Texas, I had all figured out for 3 days out of now. So when I was a little kid, I knew how old I'd be when I was 25. I was running for state legislature. And then when I was about 30, I was going for Congress. 35, Senator, 40, I was going to be the president of the United States. And I read you out when I was a teenager.
But also said that.
It's just on the simplest level, fellowship the Lord. No, Lord, I don't mean one who not talks about Christ.
One to betray with Christ. The Christ.
No.
Praise the Lord. All right, my brother. Now, this is what I wanted to say to you. Brother and sister, that Lord is in you, and he is radiating out like a beautiful piece of living, moving uranium. He is just in there, moving and out.
Constantly, the Lord is moving out.
Praise. Well, then, Brother Corey, the Lord began to move out, and we begin
to touch him.
Oh, sure.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
And we get the Lord alive. This morning, more of the Lord's life, and we're touched, and we're ignited, and we're anointed, and we have this life, and we have this peace, and we have this communion, and we have this fellowship. And hallelujah, we begin to penetrate him deeper and deeper. And brothers, we hit the cross. We hit the cross.
Because the Lord's life has gotten into your soul.
Well, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ goes over and opens your refrigerator.
There we go. Brother, you stand not wrecked for.
And you scream.
Oh, Father, I want you to know the Lord has a little. The Lord has a little. I don't know what it is.
And the Lord knows when his life grows jump to the very half high.
There's enough of his life to get a little less of you. And to put some part of you on the call at that moment.
Well, as leaks and brothers and some sisters, we're just, you know,
I watched
brothers and sisters struggling last week. I really did. I watched some really terrifying things, but I was prepared. Sometimes when we really, really begin to stir up the Lord in us, the outer man can just barely stand. And we just crack under the strain. We really do. And there was some outer men cracking last week under the strain of the Lord. And some real depression and a sense of defeat and all of that.
It's all right, brother. It's all right. Brother, the light, and are you?
You lost this battle. The Lord is going to have already won.
The Lord is
going to have already.
He's already won.
He's going to have already won.
Right. You take that home and offers it.
Oh, brothers, I want you to know this. You made the biggest mistake of your life the day you put your life on the line.
Hey, I tried to make this clear to the brothers before, but I need to say it again tonight. You all.
Not as though you had a chance anymore.
Brothers, I consecrated my life in the religious system every time we had a revival.
But in 1963, I found out what consecrate. I had some idea what the Lord was after. And I gave myself to the Lord. He would.
And I got to thinking, you know, I'll have to remember it. I just can't think. I'll be defeated. I'll go back.
I'll go back into the world. I'll lose this money. I can't think the person.
Lord, you've asked too much for. And where was I, Bert? The Lord having on. I was in his hand.
All I can tell you is if you think you took a hard test in high school or college, you didn't think you could pass it. You just barely passed it. You never knew an instructor like the Lord. He throw tests at you like you never blew your earth. And you'd go page after page after page after page and say, Lord, I never heard any of that. Never saw any of it. Never was exposed to any of it. I'm not prepared for it. I'm not tutored at it. And the Lord says, you're going to think. When you... You're no longer.
You can take out of your hand. you have put in the law.
Now, my brother, the more you touch his lot, the more he grows in you, and the more the soul is transformed, the more you run into the cross, and the more the cross is applied, and the more these things in your life are taken and consumed by divine light. That just simply leaves one little thing to be said.
Brother, have you got a weakness in your life? Have you got a weakness in your life? Then yes.
Then what do you need to do? Do you need to make a resolution? Do you need to go find a lot of stuff? Do you need to get rid of some things? No! All you need to do is touch the Lord! All you need to do is do His light! All you need to do is be in His presence! And somewhere in the touching of His light, He'll saturate you! Somewhere in the touching of He'll permeate you! And somewhere in there will be a cross! And somewhere in there will be enough of His light! And He'll get it, brother!
You'll get a jewel from his crate.
You'll get it.
And praise the Lord when it's over with, brother.
You'll break out into a high, sunlit play. You never saw.
Then, brother, you'll come and you'll touch the Lord some more, and it'll be so boring.
And it'll be so marvelous. And it'll be so wonderful. And it'll be so delightful. And it'll permeate you and saturate you. And he'll take more of you.
Until you hit the cross,
the Lord will come in and you'll be and screaming and saying, Lord, next time I'm not ready. You can't do it now.
The law of the life was the spirit of the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. We'll take care of all the things. He got a besetting sin.
Man, got besetting sin? Don't worry about your besetting. Who thinks you should do both? Know the Lord.
Live in the Lord's presence. Behold the Lord. Touch the Lord. Be saturated with the Lord. They built with you, brother.
Amen. Oh, take care of every weakness you got. You have some weaknesses.
Brother, I would just say, find a way to touch your Lord. Amen. All through the day.
Don't miss a single opportunity to really touch the Lord. And brother, I would say that having touched the Lord, be built with the brothers and sisters in a living, vital way. Know Christ.
Don't know sickness or aches or pains or problems. Know Christ.
Brother, he'll take care of the leader.
And the besetting.
And say,
praise the Lord, brothers. We've only got one thing to do. I found it out one day. Oh, I found it out. I really found it out. All I'm going to do is experience you.
Praise the Lord.
He will take care of the rest. Wonderful way.
Praise the Lord. Are you clear now, brother?
Amen.
Are you clear?
Amen.
Yes, through the Lord. Let us praise the Lord.
The Lord gave you Monday because he didn't lack you. Brother, Monday was not created by the enemy. The Lord created Monday. He thought up Monday morning. He thought up Monday morning to bring you the health out of the worst possible condition.